Thank you for joining me again today. We've been on quite a journey following two of Jesus' disciples, Peter and John, along through a couple of books of the Bible. We've seen how Jesus built into these two men confidence. I hope my teaching has been helpful to you in this regard, and if so, would you be willing to drop me an email today and tell me what you've learned in this series, God is Our Confidence? Your note will be an encouragement to me and will help me to know how I can continue to serve you in the days ahead. I'll give you my email address now, mark@markaswallow.com. That's M-A-R-K at markaswallow.com. Since we have seen Peter and John draw their confidence from Christ, let's now take a look at some of the results of this confident building period in their lives. I gave you a sneak peek at this already by reading from Acts chapters 3 and 4 earlier in the series, and today I want to take us into Acts chapters 1, 2, and 3 briefly. By now, you probably know what I'm going to say. Yes, I wish we had more time together. I'd like to slow walk you through these passages, reading much more of the biblical text for context, but we do not have that time right now. If you have your Bible with you, please open it to Acts chapter 1. Otherwise, you'll have to read these passages on your own later. I encourage you to read all of Acts chapters 1 through 4 when you get a chance, because you'll see that Peter and John's names keep popping up. But for right now, let's get a lay of the land for these passages. And I'll begin in Acts chapter 1 and verses 12 through 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John, and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So, following the return of Christ to heaven in his ascension, the disciples returned to the city Jerusalem and went together to the upper room. That's where they were staying. And notice who is there together. Peter and John. Who else? These two are tight. Now, in Acts chapter 2, we have a radical, world-changing event that takes place. This is the promised coming of the Holy Spirit of the living God, on what the Bible calls Pentecost. Pentecost means 50th, and this was what the Jews celebrated as the Feast of Weeks that took place 50 days after Passover. Pentecost would have taken place in May or June. You can read about the Feast of Weeks, or Harvest, in the Bible's Old Testament book of Leviticus. And Jews from all over Israel made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate this together. It is at this feast that the Holy Spirit comes as a direct fulfillment of Jesus' promise. Jesus told the disciples the Holy Spirit would come, and exactly as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit came. You can read about this and what happened in Acts chapter 2, but as part of the coming of the Spirit, some people misinterpreted the response of the people. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, one of the 12 disciples stands to give a sermon so as to address what had actually happened. And which disciple do you think it was? Well, if you're thinking, if this were a call-in show, I could ask you to call me right now with the answer, and the first person to get it right wins. But this is not that kind of radio program, is it? All right, then I'll assume you're all winners, because you have the correct answer, which is Peter. This is Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them. And then Peter, nothing more than a fisherman from the Sea of Galilee, a common, ordinary man that nobody knew before Christ commanded and consumed him, launches into a brilliant, fruitful, and effective sermon that goes from verse 14 all the way down to verse 36. That's more than 20 verses of solid preaching. And I hope you will do this. Read the sermon. You'll see that preacher Peter was giving a great message to his listeners, and the Holy Spirit was at work within him and through him such that the response of the crowd was this. I'm reading now Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Wow, I pray that my sermons get this kind of response. They were pierced to the heart and asked, "What shall we do?" Quickly, I will tell you that Peter tells them to repent. He tells them to express genuine sorrow for their sin to Jesus Christ and to receive Christ's forgiveness. Peter tells them to do what Christ taught Peter to do. Now let me ask you, do you think that Peter was confident when he gave this sermon? When you read it, clearly you'll see that yes, he was confident. And why was he confident? Now, some of you might say, because Peter had the Holy Spirit now, dwelling, living inside of him. And that is correct. But before Peter had the Spirit, there was another member of the triune God ministering in Peter's life, and that was Jesus. Peter had received confidence from Christ. Confidence is reliance on Christ, and this is what enabled Peter to boldly stand before the people and preach. And I mean, to really preach. I want you to listen to two key parts of the sermon. The first is verse 29, and the second will be verse 36. All of this is in Acts 2. Here's the first one. This is in Acts chapter 2 and verse 29. "Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." Again, for context, please read the sermon for yourself. But did you catch Peter's words? "Brethren, I confidently say to you." Confidently say. Confident. Peter was sure of the facts of his message. Peter was sure of the source of his confidence. And so Peter spoke with confidence. This is an example of the results of the time that Jesus gave to Peter and John, and yes, the others, in building confidence in them day after day, year after year. And as the book of Acts continues and the early church is established and grows, our friends and forefathers in the faith, Peter and John, are right there leading the way, and they lead with confidence. And now let's read Acts 2 and verse 36. This is where Peter makes his most definitive conclusion. Acts 2 and verse 36 reads, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, the Jesus whom you crucified." Here, Peter makes a confident statement. He is sure that Jesus is both Lord and Christ, meaning that this Jew, Peter, is boldly declaring to the other Jews that Jesus is indeed God and the promised Messiah. Despite the widespread and deep-running skepticism that Jesus is who he says he is, Peter is sure that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. And so Peter conveys this with conviction to his fellow Jews listening to him that day. To us, this may not seem like such a big deal. We are far removed from this by time and person. We are alive in the 21st century, not the first century. And we are, for the most part, Gentiles, not Jews. But for Peter to take a stand and to declare to all the house of Israel that God sent Jesus as Lord and Messiah, the God-man that they then killed by crucifixion, this took conviction and confidence to preach in that time and at that place. And it still does. How confident are you to preach Christ? Now you say, "I'm not a preacher. That's your job." Oh yes, Christian, you are a preacher. Your life preaches a sermon every day, and your congregation is your family, your friends, your colleagues at work, the person who's driving too slowly in front of you right now, the person standing behind you in the checkout line later. What do they see? And how confident are you to feed the Word of God from your mind down to your mouth and to confidently tell others about Jesus the Christ? How's your spoken testimony today? As Christians, we all have a responsibility and a privilege and joy to tell others about who Christ is, as Peter did in Acts chapter 2. Will you confidently live for Christ and talk about Christ today? Peter and John are confident because they are filled with the Holy Spirit, yes. Well, every believer today is filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter and John are confident because they have been discipled by Christ. Their reliance on Christ results in confidence. Every believer today is being discipled, trained, and mastered by Jesus Christ. As we live in the Spirit and as we rely on Christ, we too draw our confidence from God. God is our confidence. I'm going to bring to an end today our discussion about Peter and John and how they drew their confidence from Christ, but just because we stop here, that doesn't mean that you have to stop here. Keep reading. You can read about both men all the way to the end of the New Testament. For example, Peter's letters are just before 1 John that John wrote. Then you can actually read three of John's letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And then there's just one chapter in Jude before you dive into the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, written by this Apostle John, Peter and John, all the way to the end of the Bible. I want to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for these two men, Peter and John. They really were very ordinary people, and yet you chose them to be your disciples. We are ordinary people. I certainly know there's nothing extraordinary about me. Absolutely nothing. But as believers, we know that you've chosen us. Thank you for your divine and sovereign choice. We're no better than anyone else, and yet you've given us Christ, and Christ has given us and is giving us confidence. Oh Lord, I pray we'll be a confident people, not a prideful people. Lord, forgive us of our pride, but make us confident people because we receive our confidence from you. Amen. Tomorrow we'll conclude this series, so join me then, for God is...